Well, today I'm wrapping up this series on building hope. We've been talking about the fact that this capital campaign is not primarily about raising money. It's not about raising $4.5 million. It's not about all the work that we're going to do to improve our property. It's not about the investment that we're going to make in Haiti and the least of these in our community. It's about building hope for being the church that Jesus has called us to be. It's about building hope for being the church that Jesus has called us to be. And I think it's appropriate that I wrap this series up with really what the main thing is. We're building hope to be a church where lost people find salvation in Christ. That's why we're doing this. We're building hope for Crossline Church to be a church where people find Jesus. Matthew 16 says this, Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Luke 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Mark 16, 15. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In Romans 10:13-16, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." We're building hope to be a church where people find Jesus. We're building hope to be a church where lost people find salvation in Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me on this. I'm stepping out of all of our comfort zones, but I need you to go with me on this. You know, when I played high school football, and this probably is played out to this day, continues all over where there's a high school football game going on, before the game, in the locker room, the coach gathers all the team together. And our coach would gather us all together. And he'd give us a pep talk about what we're going to go do when we leave the locker room, because we're going to go out on the field. And he would tell us what we're going to execute out on the field. And he would give us an encouragement and a challenge. And he would kind of motivate us and get us going. And then we always did this. We would be playing a certain opponent. And then our coach would kind of name that opponent. Like in my high school, one of the teams that we played was a high school named was Silver Creek High School. And he would say, "Who are we going to beat?" And we would all yell, "Silver Creek." And then he'd say it louder, "Who are we going to beat?" And he would yell, "Silver Creek." And he'd say, "Who are we going to beat?" We'd yell, "Silver Creek." Now, this is the pregame pep talk, this message. And then we're going to leave this building. And you know who we're going to face? The devil. So who are we going to beat?
The devil.
Who are we going to beat?
The devil.
Who are we going to beat?
The devil.
You see, the devil does not want people coming to know Jesus. And the devil does not want you to tell people about Jesus. And the devil does not want you to shine the light of Jesus. But we are going out to take the field.
Amen.
And Jesus has commissioned us. Jesus has commanded us. Jesus has created his church to be a place where lost people find salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus is building his church to be both a people and a place. A people and a place. A people and a place who proclaim salvation to the lost. That's the church of Jesus Christ. That's Crossline Church. We are a people and a place that proclaim salvation for Jesus Christ. And we're called to proclaim salvation not only in Haiti, but in Laguna Hills, in Irvine, in Lake Forest, in Laguna Niguel, in Liso Viejo, in Mission Viejo, San Juan Capistrano, San Clemente, Foothill Ranch, Robinson Ranch, Rancho Santa Margarita, Ladera Ranch, Cota de Caza, Laguna Beach. We're called to proclaim salvation all over South Orange County and all over the world. See, we're building hope to be a church that helps reach lost people for Christ. Crossline will be a church where lost people find salvation in Christ when believers share the gospel and invite their friends to church. Crossline will be a church that helps lost people find salvation in Christ when believers share the gospel and invite their friends to church. So the question is, what needs to happen for me, for you, to share the gospel and invite lost people to church? What needs to happen? In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, God used a guy named Peter who not many days before denied Jesus, but then had an encounter with the resurrected Jesus Christ and became the person that God used on the day of Pentecost to introduce people to Jesus and connect them to the church of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at Acts chapter 2 and see how God used Peter, and from his example, see how God can use me and God can use you, because we're the church. And Crossline Church will be a place where lost people find salvation in Jesus Christ when we, as believers, share the gospel and invite people to church. So Acts chapter 2 says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Here's my first observation. How can I be the kind of person that God can use to share the gospel and invite people to church? Well, first of all, I need to regularly go to church. Now, I realize I might be speaking to the wrong crowd here because you're here in church. But they were gathered together and God showed up. God shows up when we gather together. And if you're not here when we're gathering together, you miss God showing up. God speaks when God's people gather together. And if you're not with God's people, you don't hear God speaking. The Holy Spirit empowers his people when they meet together in fellowship and worship and studying God's word. But if we're not with God's people, we don't get the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can be transformed. See, it's as simple as that. Now, I'm not trying to shame anybody. I know that I have to be at church because I get paid for being here, right? So I understand that. But we have an interesting phenomena in our culture. And it's not just Orange County. It's our culture. Next Sunday, Easter, we'll have our largest gathering of people. Probably about 3,000 people will be here in our four services. It'll be phenomenal. If we were to say, everybody who says they're a part of Crossline Church show up on any Sunday, and everybody showed up, we'd have 2,300 people here. Today, Maybe 1,100 people will be here today. So on any given Sunday, 1,100 people show up. If everybody who was a part of the church regularly showed up, about 2,300. And on our large outreach, we have about 3,000. That means on any given Sunday, more than 1,000 people who are part of our church aren't at church. Well, what if God showed up that Sunday? You'd miss it. You'd miss a word from God. You'd miss a fulfillment of the promise. Think if somebody didn't show up to that gathering on the day of Pentecost when all of what God had promised was fulfilled and the Holy Spirit poured himself out on those believers. What if they were, you know, out at a soccer game that day? What if they were up the mountains skiing that day? What if they went to the beach that day? What if they just slept in that day? They'd have missed it. They'd have missed it. I don't want anyone here to miss what God does when his people gather together in worship and teaching and prayer and seeking the Lord. I need to regularly go to church. Here's the second thing, just from that passage, is I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that was the fulfillment of what God had promised. The Holy Spirit poured himself out and energized each of those believers. And it was a fulfillment of what Jesus had promised. Jesus said that not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. This was the first part of the fulfillment of that promise, because here they were in Jerusalem and they received the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in Jerusalem. And then in Acts 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, they received the power of the Spirit to be witnesses for Christ in Judea and Samaria. And then in Acts 13 to the end of the chapter, or end of the book, they received the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Christ to the remotest parts of the earth. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to ask the Holy Spirit to take control of my life, and based upon his command to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18, and based upon his promise in Luke 11:13, you being evil, now to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I need to be asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit so often here at Crossline, and an illustration that we've used many, many times, the illustration of the chocolate milk. You take two glasses of milk, and you put Hershey's syrup in each one. You take this one and you stir it up. What do you got? What's it look like? When you drink it, what does it taste like? This one here has the same amount of syrup, but if you don't stir it up, it just goes to the bottom. What does it look like? Milk. If you taste it, what does it taste like? Milk. Has the same amount of the syrup, but the syrup isn't permeating and influencing and transforming that milk into chocolate milk. There are many believers like that. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but he's not transforming you to become more like Jesus and empowering you to be a witness for Christ. He's just kind of settled in your life. He has to be stirred up. You have to surrender to him and ask him to take charge of your life and obey him in what he calls you to do. That's being filled with the Spirit. For us to be the people, for me to be the person who will be part of helping Crossline Church be a church where lost people find salvation, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts chapter 2, it goes on. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard in their own language what was spoken. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. So listen carefully to what I have to say." Here's a third thing from Peter's example. I need to take advantage of divine appointments. I need to take advantage of divine appointments. See, there was an historical situation here. It was the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival. And so devout Jews gathered together in Jerusalem for the celebration of this festival. Jews who spoke the Hebrew dialect and Jews who spoke various other dialects, because they came from various other regions. but they all came to Jerusalem because of the festival of Pentecost. The presenting question, because the Holy Spirit poured out upon this group of believers as they were having church, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in the various dialects of all the people gathered. They began to speak in their language the mighty deeds of God. They began to share the gospel in the languages of the people who were gathered there. The people knew they didn't know their languages, but they were hearing the message of God in their language, and they said, "What the heck is going on here?" And Peter stands up and says, "Let me tell you." See, that was a divine appointment, and he took advantage of it. A divine appointment is when you take advantage of an opportunity to be a witness for Christ. You shine the light of Jesus and you speak the message. That's what it means. A divine appointment is when there is an opportunity to shine the light of Christ or speak the message of Christ. And we need to be people who take advantage of the divine appointments that God gives us. Now, we know, because we've read the book, that we've been commanded to go and preach the gospel to all creation. And we have neighbors living next door to us, and we have coworkers that we see every day, and we have people in the community that we interact with, and we have friends that we talk to all the time. They are divine appointments. Every neighbor, every coworker, every friend, every relationship is a divine appointment. You see, because we already have a command to go. The opportunity is when we take the initiative and obey. The opportunity is when we walk across the street and invite our neighbors to church. The opportunity is when we share with a coworker what God is doing in our life. The opportunity is when we share with a friend how Jesus has changed our life. The opportunity is when we talk with someone we've been in a relationship with and tell them how they can know Jesus as their own Lord and Savior. That's the divine appointment. Now, I was telling Rick Brodigam this, that I'm going to go old school this morning, because as I was thinking about this, I remembered a scene from an old Steve Martin movie. So I think this movie came out in the early 80s, and it had, you know those 80 comedies that they all kind of had a certain genre. This movie was called The Man with Two Brains. And what's going on in the story is Steve Martin is a brain surgeon, and he has a brain that he has alive, and the brain has the personality of this wonderful person. So he wants to put the brain in a hot chick, basically, just to kind of cut to the chase of what's going on. And the hot chick is played by Kathleen Turner. And so he's a widow, and in his house is a big picture of his former wife, and he's like looking at the picture, kind of asking permission to marry Kathleen Turner. That's the setup. And so he looks at it, and her name was Becca. Becca, just give me any kind of sign if you don't want me to marry Dolores. Just any kind of sign. And all of a sudden the picture starts shaking. No! And he goes, any kind of sign. And then the picture starts spinning on the wall. No! And he goes, just any sign. I'll just any sign that you don't want me to marry Dolores. And no! And then the picture falls off. And he goes, well, I'll be looking for any kind of sign that you want to give me. I think we do the reverse. God, show me a sign that I should share the gospel. And what we're waiting for is someone to come up to us and say, would you please lead me to Christ? And then when that doesn't happen, we think, well, I guess God doesn't want me to say anything. We've been commanded. We don't need a sign. Jesus commanded us. We don't need a sign. People are lost. We don't need a sign. People are desperately in need of salvation. We don't need a sign. We're in relationship with people. We don't need a sign. They live across the street from us. We don't need a sign. God loves people. We don't need a sign. We just need to be obedient. And take advantage of the divine appointments that are all around us. Because God's word says this, anyone who belongs, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He no longer counts people's sins against them, and he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors. See, taking advantage of divine appointments just means fulfilling your calling and being an ambassador for Christ to your neighbors, to your friends, to your coworkers, to the people that you're in relationship with, to shine the light of Christ and to speak the message of Christ. And that's what Peter did here in Acts chapter 2. And then this is what he said in Acts 2. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not allow your Holy One to see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. How can I be the kind of person that helps Crossline Church help lost people find salvation? How can I be the kind of person that shines the light of Christ, speaks the word of Christ? I need to share the gospel using the word of God. More than half of what Peter says in his gospel presentation is scripture. He's quoting scripture. That's why Jesus in Mark 4 talks about the farmer sows the seed of the word. It lands in different kinds of soil. Depending on the kind of soil that it lands in, it either is taken away by the birds, or it's just a shallow root, or it gets choked out, or it bears fruit. But what is sown is the seed of the word. And that's why Paul says over in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So when we share God's message, we share the word. Now, Peter stood up and shared the word because he knew it. You know, you can't share something you don't know. So he had received it and learned it and memorized it, and then he was able to share it. I remember the first time someone challenged me to memorize what was called the Romans Road. So I memorized Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I memorized Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I memorized Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I memorized Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And with those four scriptures, I've had the privilege of leading hundreds of people to Christ. Just using those four scriptures. Peter memorized the scripture, was at church when God showed up and did something marvelous in his life, got filled with the Spirit, took advantage of a divine appointment, and shared God's message, God's word. That's it. When we share our faith, we share the word of God. Now, there's another observation here, and it's, I need to explain the gospel facts to others. Because Peter's message is God's word, and then an explanation of the facts. Because they're gospel facts that people need to hear and understand and believe in order to come into a relationship with Christ. Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, he's the Son of God. He'll forgive our sins if we accept him into our lives. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation's only in Christ, and we're saved by grace through faith. These are just simple facts. That if you are a believer in Christ, you already know. You don't have to have a seminary degree to learn these facts. And so, this message that'll change a person's life for eternity, this message that'll bless a person and fill them with joy and the hope of heaven, this message that saves a person is just God's word explaining gospel facts. And every person here, just by the fact that you've been here this morning, you already have received all that you need to know to do what Peter did. Take advantage of a divine appointment and talk to someone about Jesus and share the scriptures and the facts that would lead them to salvation. Every person here already knows it. You don't have to take an evangelism class. You don't have to read a book. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to wait until, you know, you've been catechized or whatever it is that you think happens in a church. The ceremony with the sheep is going to happen afterwards. You already know. We already know. It's just sharing what we already know. That's what a witness is, by the way. Just someone who shares what they know. Here's a sixth observation. How to be the kind of church, how to be the kind of person that provides the hope of salvation to the lost. Because remember, the church is a people and a place. This is the place and we are the people. And we're building hope to be the kind of church where lost people find salvation in Jesus Christ. And Crossline will be the kind of church where lost people find salvation in Christ when believers share the gospel and invite their friends to church. And that's us. So here's the sixth thing. I need to invite people to repent and receive salvation. I need to invite people to repent and receive salvation. See, it's not being pushy, but it is being persuasive. I'm not trying to be pushy with anybody. I wouldn't want to be manipulative to anybody. I wouldn't want to kind of get someone in a headlock and, you know, force them to believe. But I'm trying to make a case. I'm passionate. It's good news. I want people to have good news in their life. So I'm trying to be persuasive. And it's not rocket science. It's just saying, would you like to receive Christ? Could you think of any good reason why you wouldn't want to give your life to Christ right now? You know, we come into a relationship with Christ by faith. And a simple way to express faith is just prayer. Would you like to pray right now and ask Jesus into your life? That's not pushy, but it is being persuasive. It's giving people the opportunity. You see, it's giving people the opportunity. Peter said, as people responded, what must I do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, or for all who are far off and all who the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Peter gave people the opportunity to respond. We need to give people the opportunity to respond. Just invite them. Would you like to cross the line and give your life to Christ? That's what I did with a guy that I've told you about, Johnny, in Haiti. Let's hear this in his own words.
Hello, how are you doing? My name is Johnny. So I remember Pastor JP in my shop. When he came here, he used to talk to me about Jesus, about cross line. He even explained to me there is two ways, or there is one line. When you decide to follow Jesus, you just have to cross the line. Okay, so I just went that way until one day I decided to cross the line. And I said, anytime Pastor JP comes in the village, I'm going to tell him that I want to cross the line. That day he came and I said, Pastor JP, today I'm going to cross the line. And he said, oh, wow, thanks to God. He prayed with me this day. So from that day to today, so I'm following Jesus and I'm very happy. I thank Pastor JP for that in my life because I'm very happy for that. Thank you, Pastor JP. Thank you.
It's as simple as loving people for Jesus' sake. And then just asking them, would you like to cross the line and give your life to Jesus? There's one more observation. This is what happened in Acts chapter 2. Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. If I want to help Crossline Church be the kind of place where lost people find salvation, I need to connect people to Crossline where they can grow as followers of Christ. See, they believed, they repented, they were baptized, and they were added to the church. I don't know how many times I've jokingly said since we started Crossline, we're not the Kiwanis Club. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. We are connected to each other in a spiritual way that transcends time and space. We will be brothers and sisters for all eternity. And right now, God's called us to come together in the name of Jesus to be a people that shines the light of Christ to those who don't know Jesus. And when someone comes to faith, they're to be connected to the church. And that's how we get connected to the church. Someone introduces us to Jesus and someone invites us to church. I mean, this isn't scientific, but let me just ask. If someone invited you to Crossline Church, would you just stand right now? Just at any point in time, someone invited you to come to Crossline Church, would you just stand up and stay standing? Okay, now just look around. Look around. Every one of these people are here because someone invited them. Now, look at the empty spaces in this building. Those empty spaces can be filled if we just invite somebody. That's it. That's all it takes. In the name of Jesus, just inviting someone. You can go ahead and have a seat. You see, we need to connect people to Crossline where they can grow as followers of Jesus. Now, what did I tell you at the beginning of this message? This is the pregame talk. When our coach in high school gave us the pregame talk, we didn't go take our equipment off and go on about our business. We took the field and we put into practice what he said. We took the field and we put into practice what he said. I told you I'm going to take you a little out of our comfort zone. Who are we going to beat?
The devil.
Who are we going to beat?
The devil.
Who are we going to beat?
The devil.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Jesus, I pray for Crossline, both the people and the place, that we'd be energized by the Holy Spirit to shine the light of Christ, to speak the message of Christ, that every believer here would share the gospel and invite their friends to church. God, what an awesome opportunity we have. Next Sunday, we have Easter, the one Sunday out of the whole year when most people who will go to church will go to church. Let us all invite as many people as we can to be our guests, to join us, so they can hear the message of salvation and be saved. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.